Shishiradha Gokulanandan Ki Jai. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work, and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the eternal, internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Responsively, O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. The froggish philosophers may go on with their mental speculations on the subject matter of the Virat, the gigantic form exhibited by the Yoga Maya, internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But factually, no one can measure such a vast exhibition. In the Bhagavad Gita 11.16, Arjuna, the recognized devotee of the Lord, says, O my Lord, O gigantic Vishvarup form, O Master of the universe, I see innumerable hands, bodies, mouths, and eyes in all directions, and they are all unlimited. I cannot find the end of this manifestation, nor do I see the middle, nor the beginning. Bhagavad Gita was specifically spoken to Arjuna, and the Vishvarup was exhibited before him at his request. He was awarded the specific eyes to see this Vishvarup. Yet, although he was unable to see the Lord's innumerable hands and mouths, he was unable to see him completely. Since Arjuna was unable to estimate the length and the breadth of the potency of the Lord, who else would be able to do so? One may only indulge in miscalculation like the frog philosopher. The frog philosopher wanted to estimate the length and breadth of the Pacific Ocean by his experience of a well 3 cubic feet large. And thus he began to puff himself up to become as big as the Pacific Ocean. But at last he burst and died by this process. This story is applicable to the mental philosophers who, under the illusion of the Lord's external energy, indulge in estimating the length and breadth of the Supreme Lord. The best path is to become a cool-headed, submissive devotee of the Lord. Try to hear about the Lord from a bona fide spiritual master and thus serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, as suggested in the previous verse. Just the translation again. O Vidura, who can estimate or measure the transcendental time, work, and potency of the gigantic form manifested by the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Om Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Meritam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivasvesha Sinyavadi Pasichara Siddhadine Vanchako Patrupyasya Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. And Hare Krishna, good morning to all the devotees online. There's probably a lot of devotees also tuning in and listening. Very wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada. I remember as a child here in Gurukul, this drama being enacted by the Bhaktivedanta players. Maybe we can get them to do it again one day. The frog philosopher, they used to do many little skits depicting these scientific perspectives, which Srila Prabhupada is explaining that the frog philosopher wants to estimate the length and breadth of the Pacific Ocean. So the story is, there's a frog in a well, 3 cubic feet large, and another frog comes and tells the frog, hey, there's a big, gigantic ocean, a body of water outside. But the frog in the well, he's stuck in his conception that this is it. This is all he can perceive. This is all he understands. This is all he knows. And so he's trying to explain, no, come out. And he's like, well, how big is it? Is it this big? Is it this big? Is it this big? So that example of the frog inflating, you know, frogs croak, they have this elasticated throat and then it explodes. So that's like the false ego of the Mayavad or the empiric philosophers or the people who are trying to estimate and measure this gigantic Virat Rupa. So I was doing a little investigation last night, thanks to Adi Guru Prabhu, who requested me to give class. Thank you. It's my first time speaking at the Manor. My great privilege and honor after many years of growing up here. So I was looking into this machine called the God Particle. Well, it's nicknamed the God Particle. It's actually a particle accelerator. So the scientists have invested a lot of money, millions and millions and millions, to create this particle accelerator. It's under a mountain in Geneva. It's about 27, almost 30 kilometers. And they project the nucleus of a proton and collide these particles together. The first attempt they did, the machine blew up. It broke. it took many, many more years and many more millions of euros or whatever to fix the machine. They ran it again, and then they study the waves of light when these particles collide. And that's supposed to give an idea or a perspective on the Big Bang theory. These are all theories, of course. So much money, so much energy invested to try understand something which is actually unlimited. The Virat Rupa, the manifestation of the Lord, of the Lord's energy, internal energy is mentioned here, internal potency. You can't, a material mind cannot understand that. You can bring all the scientists together and try to get them to measure this, as Prabhupada's mentioning. They try to measure and understand the wavelengths of light. I remember in science, in school, we had a project where we had to study how light functions. It's alpha, beta, gamma, ultraviolet, infrared, X-ray. There's more frequencies, a few more frequencies now they found. There's the perspective that animals see. Animals don't see in color like we see. They see something similar to night vision goggles. Our cows and bulls also see in that spectrum, dogs also. And then it goes up, X-ray, ultraviolet, infrared, and it becomes more and more subtler to the extent that the naked eye or even modern instruments can't perceive the waves of light. They know they're there. They say it's only about 4% of the light spectrum that we can actually perceive, even with all the instrumentation, millions of dollars, the Hubble telescope in space, trying to take pictures of the world and the universe. It's like a tiny pinprick of light in perspective to the entire cosmic manifestation of the Virat Purusha. And of course, most of the scientific perspectives on the study of this particular particle, they've given it a name called the Higgins boson, which is the particle which is supposed to prove matter, or that there's substance, not just light frequencies. So it's a lot of speculation, Prabhupada's saying. And if you try and study it, which I was trying to do last night, spent a couple hours on it, it's a lot of speculation. It's a theory. It's not proven fact. It's just a theory. And these mathematicians and scientists, a lot of speculation. There's a lot of scope there for misinterpretation and misunderstanding. And, you know, we have here in the UK, Oxford University, Cambridge University, the two big ones. And there's Richard Dawkins, who's written this book called The God Delusion. So as we see the big academics of the country, they start to lean towards atheism. Immediately, they go in that direction. and they're trying to prove with scientific knowledge that God doesn't exist. When the actual universities that they are presenting their theologies in, I'm sorry, their theories in, were originally meant to be theological institutions. For example, Oxford University has on the entrance carved Dominus Illuminatus, that's a Latin term. Great are the works of the Lord. I believe that's what it means. It's a translation from Latin. Yeah, and also the same in Cambridge University. Yeah, great are the works of the Lord and studied by all those who delight in them. So the idea is that knowledge is supposed to lead to God, supposed to lead upwards, not into the darkness of atheism. So Srila Prabhupada refers to these characters as like a frog in a well. They have a very limited perspective, trying to understand the unlimited. And how does one understand the unlimited? Not with our tiny little brains, very simply by surrendering. As Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, that we, he says here, very nice, the best path is to become cool-headed, submissive devotee of the Lord, and try to hear about the Lord from a bona fide spiritual master, and thus serve the Lord in transcendental loving service. So they're trying to use the material senses, which are limited. They can make error, mistake, can be cheated. There's all those material qualities that we face. So the best path to perceive the Lord is through bhakti, through loving devotional service. And through the practice of bhakti yoga and keeping a cool head, not always so easy, and being a submissive devotee, then one can get darshan of the Lord. One can experience the Lord through sound. We don't use our eyes to see Krishna or to see the Lord. We use our ears by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the holy name, hearing recitation of the Lord's pastimes from the acharyas and the spiritual master. A couple of days ago, a question came up. Why are we forcing our ideology onto others? A couple of days ago, that question came up. I wasn't too satisfied with the response or the question, actually, because if we see in modern-day education, there's a lot of atheistic ideology being forced upon children. I remember that happening in high school and debating with the science professor about the origins of the Big Bang and why do we have to believe humanity came from monkeys or apes. These are all theories. They're not factually proven. We haven't seen evidence of that. If they have this particle collision mechanism there in Geneva, Switzerland, why are we not seeing a big bang and a whole nother universe exploding? Instead, the machine malfunctions and very limited information comes out through their computer analysis. So this is transcendental knowledge. It's not ideology. This is the truth. This is the absolute truth, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we share this knowledge with others. We share it through Harinam Sankirtan, book distribution, Bhagavatam class, Gita class, and inviting people to engage in devotional service. That is not forcing ideology upon others. Maybe some people might feel a little bit shy to share their experience of Krishna consciousness. Then you just give a book, very easy. Bring somebody to the temple, give them a plate of prasadam, show them the reception and give them a book. But it's not forced ideology. Forced ideology is what we see in academia, what we see children being exposed to in the schools these days. And that ideology is not coming from the absolute truth, it's coming from this relative realm of material existence. Prabhupada also mentions in the text and the purport, the internal potency of the Lord, this yoga maya. So the internal potency is allowing the virat rupa to manifest. Reading a little bit more into this chapter, creation of the universal form, it really reminded me of the Purusha Shukta. Anyone's recites it or heard the Purusha Shukta, when you read the translation, it pretty much gives the whole explanation of the universal form in a very ancient Vedic way, in a very beautiful way. So the Lila Shakti of the Lord, the internal potency, sometimes bewilders the Lord himself. For example, when the cowherd boys become attracted to go in the mouth of Agasura and play there, the Lord sees them entering. He feels he needs to stop them, but at the same time, they're having fun. They enter the mouth of Agasura, and then Krishna goes and rescues them eventually and kills Agasura. And then Lord Brahma, seeing this happening, becomes quite bewildered. What's going on? This little cowherd boy. So this is the Yoga Maya playing out for the Leelas. This little cowherd boy. Is this really Bhagavan? Is this really God? Is this really the Supreme Person? So even Lord Brahma becomes bewildered. And, you know, what to speak of modern day scientists. Prabhupada gives the example of being like frogs in the well. Even the supreme creator of this material world, Lord Brahma, becomes bewildered. And then has Brahma Vimohan Leela and steals the cowherd boys. And the Leela goes on. So the internal potency of the Lord is very powerful. Another example is the boys gang up on Krishna. Balaram leads the boys and goes complains to Mother Yashoda. He's eaten dirt. Mother Yashoda says, come, Lala, let's have a look. You're eating dirt? He says, no, no, I didn't eat any dirt. It's Balaram. It's the boys. These boys are complaining about me. Politics, this is the origin of politics, our society. The coward boys ganging up on Krishna. And then Mother Yashoda opens the mouth and then sees the universal form within there, the universe. The big buzzword of today, of the millennial generation, the universe. And then she looks within the mouth and sees herself feeding baby Krishna on her lap and becomes quite taken aback. Is this a fever? What's happening? You know. And then immediately Yoga Maya withdraws and she goes back into her maternal Vatsalya Bhav and hugs Krishna, gives Krishna a kiss and says, okay, Lala, no problem. Go play with your friends. That's because Bhakti Yoga goes beyond all of these considerations. Pure loving devotion to Krishna. So in the very formalized way, people will worship the Virat Purusha through the Purusha Shukta. In some regions of the world, people who are more aboriginal or kind of more primitive, they worship aspects of the Virat Purusha through nature. I remember Mother Brajasundari explaining to us as little Gurukul kids that the Aborigines worship this rainbow serpent in Australia. And she was trying to explain different world religions to us. So more of the primitive cultures, they do a lot of ancestral worship and worship of nature as a way of approaching the Lord through that Virat Purusha. But we're very blessed and fortunate. We know the origin of the Virat Purusha, which is Krishna, all loving, all kind, Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we're just very blessed by Srila Prabhupada to have this transcendental knowledge. And I didn't really prepare too much for the class, so that's my humble offering. If there are any questions or comments, please feel free.
I've got two things, Prabhu. They are, see that the Indonesians, they worship volcanoes, and sometimes one of the government ministers goes to a puja at the volcano, and he gets in trouble with the Muslim clerics because they're not supposed to believe in all that kind of thing, but it's from their ancient heritage. They have some kind of superstitious. And then the other thing is, I don't remember the name of that guy in the wheelchair who died, the scientist.
Stephen Hawking. Yeah, he was more into the study of space.
Yeah, so when, so I saw a quote on their social media. It says, God is dead, Stephen Hawking, 1980 something. And then, this was after he died, and then Stephen Hawking is dead, God, 2000 and whenever he died, you know. So when I posted it, someone said, oh, that's cruel. And I said, well, can you name one thing he did that benefited humanity? And they couldn't say one thing. So see that the atheistic philosophies or like this machine in Switzerland, they don't actually produce any good for humanity. Whereas even our Krishna conscious movement, so small in the world and lacking in the billions and trillions of dollars they have, you know, we're feeding prasadam to millions of people and all the wonderful things we do.
Book distribution, Harinam Sankirtan.
It benefits the world.
Yes. And yeah, the scientists get their God realization when they leave their body. The Lord comes in the form of death, which is also the Virat Purusha. I believe when Calcutta was being threatened by the Japanese with bombs, Srila Prabhupada said this is like a manifestation of the Virat Purusha, war or death or destruction. So your first question was about the ritualistic activities of the traditional Hindus of Indonesia. Yes, they have all kinds of different, slightly different practices to the main Vedic culture, but it's a branch of the Vedic culture. And I had the good fortune of visiting with your brother, Sridham Prabhu. And he took me to one of those volcanoes, actually. And one of the ministers, as you mentioned, got in trouble for doing these kind of ritualistic activities. And then he didn't do it. And the volcano erupted. So there was a natural response. When we live in harmony with Mother Nature, Mother Bhumi, Bhumi Devi is one of the wives of the Lord. As we know from Krishna's advents, Krishna's Leela, Janmashtami just recently passed. His wife, Mother Bhumi, comes and begs him, please, remove these demoniac kings. They're causing so much burden on the earth. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanhi bhavati bharata. Right? Pranitranaya sadhanam venus chadu dusicham dharma samstarpanartaya. Please establish dharma samstarpanartaya sambhavami yuga yuga. So he appears yuga after yuga. So Mother Bhumi is one of the manifestations of the Lord's, Lakshmi's one, and then Bhudevi. So worshipping for certain traditions in the world, worshipping nature, respecting nature, is a way of approaching the Virat Purusha. That's some belief in a higher existence. Recently, I had the good fortune of accompanying Navina Nirda Prabhu on a preaching expedition to help assist some devotees in Iceland, Reykjavik. We did some nice Harinam and book distribution and a wonderful celebration on Radhastami. And on the night of Radhastami, I looked up at the sky and the sky turned green. I'd never seen anything like that in my life. It looked like it was clouds and raining green color. And so in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions there that human being will look up at the sky at night and see the stars in the sky and understand that there's a higher force. There's a higher nature behind everything that's going on. And I couldn't help but just remember that section of the first canto in the purport where Prabhupada describes that, looking up at the sky at night, we understand that there's this universe, the big buzzword, the universe. But that universal manifestation, there's a person behind it, the Virat Purusha, and that's Krishna. As mentioned, Srila Prabhupada said there in the Gita sloka that Arjuna, he can't figure it out. Where's the beginning? Where's the middle? Where's the end? There's these eyes everywhere. There's these hands everywhere. The gigantic universal form is very overwhelming. And a couple of slokas later in the Gita, Prabhupada says that Arjuna asks for him to remove it because he wants to see him as his friend again. So different people approach the Lord in different forms, in different ways of worship, just as we have the servitude, Prabhupada saying that with a cool head, just remain a servant to the spiritual master and Krishna. We have servitude, friendship, fraternal, and conjugal. So people will approach the Lord in a very neutral way and just honor and offer respect in those kind of ancient cultural aboriginal ways, you could say. Different traditions, different places around the world. The Native American Indians, the Amazonian jungle dwellers and others, they have their way of approaching and honoring that there's a supreme force and power. We have further knowledge. The scientists are really trying their best to figure it all out, but very simply a frog in the well that's stuck and limited limited by the material senses and limited by the instruments in which they use. Every 10 years, it changes. There's another theory, there's another speculation, there's another idea. And it's just going down a rabbit hole of speculation, pretty much. You had a question, Prabhu?
Thanks, Prabhu. Thanks for the amazing class. I was thinking about what you mentioned earlier about how people are taught about evolution theory and atheism and all of that in schools. And it's almost like, I was just thinking about it, that the society we see today, almost like the creation of that started 50 years ago, based on what they started teaching people in schools about how the evolution theory, this is a fact, and atheism and all of that. And over 50 years, it's very intelligent how it's been planned. And when somebody's been taught like that for 40, 50 years, it's almost very difficult to break them out of that way of thinking that there's almost another possibility, and that's not true because that's what they've been taught for 40, 50 years. And I think education is a way to change things. Now, my question was that what we're trying to do is, like you mentioned, by inspiration, we're trying to do Harinam, we're trying to share Krishna consciousness, but it's already trying to preach to people who are already indoctrinated in a certain way, in atheism, and it's almost like pulling people out of a drowning ship, you know, in very small numbers, whereas what's happening out there, the atheistic teaching is happening on a mass scale, which you're not even allowed to get out of. So I was wondering what your ideas or what your thoughts were on this, that whether this is what we're meant to be doing, just save who we can, or maybe is there something we can do to share Krishna consciousness on a big level so we can teach people in the masses, or I don't know if you had any thoughts or ideas on that.
Well, we're very fortunate here in Bhaktivedanta Manor. There is ISKCON Educational Services established by Indri H. Prabhu. And you're also quite fortunate in this country that it's mandatory religious education in the UK. The RE, religious education, is still a subject. Many countries in the world, you can't even mention the word God in school. You'll be arrested, there'll be a court case, you'll be sued if the teacher mentions the word God. I won't mention those countries. I had the good fortune of traveling a little bit and preaching in Scandinavia. Atheism's heavy. It's really prevalent in some of those countries. It's just the normality. So how do we affect people in a positive way who have been indoctrinated by 40 plus years of atheism? That's your question. We give them the holy name. We give them some Krishna prasadam. If they're open to take one of Prabhupada's books and read it, we give that to them. If they're a little bit more Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nandan Ki, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai. We share our Krishna consciousness and package it in a way that they're ready to receive it and accept it. We do have some scientific devotees in ISKCON. Sarup Damodar Maharaj has some publications, some really nice books. We were doing, Adi Guru Prabhu had me on a book table. We were doing some event, and quite an intellectual professor came, and you had these two books of Sarup Damodar Maharaj on the table, and we were ending the event, packing up the table, and I thought, let me just keep those two books out in case they're meant for somebody who's academically inclined. And by the time it was time to take those two books off the table, I turned and looked, and there was a very well-dressed gentleman, English gentleman, going through them. And I had immediately understood, oh, Krishna sent these books for this man. And I said, professor, and he immediately turned. So that meant he was already a professor, he was quite educated. And I said, just a donation for those. It's the end of the day, you can give whatever you want. He gave a donation and took those two books by Sarup Damodar Maharaj. So we do have academic devotees that can cater to that audience. We just need to do more Harinam Sankirtan and more book distribution. People are walking around the streets. People are going to concerts, to events. Are we? Are we meeting the people? Are we getting out there enough? And the holy name, we just become an instrument in the hands of our guru and our predecessor acharyas. Lord Nityananda has cut open a channel of mercy. The Panchatattva have appeared, and they are descending with this mercy. There's no previous, requirements. Just chant the holy name. People hear it. They'll take a little prasadam. And that mercy then starts to pull those jivas out of the material conditioned life and bring them closer. So if you really want to make a big impact, there are thousands of schools in this country. If we could just get all the devotees who are initiated in the UK Yatra to connect with Indriyesh Prabhu and do a little bit of basic training, you can go into schools and present Krishna consciousness as a religious teacher or a teaching assistant. It's not that difficult. I've even done it. I've been sent into schools and presented Bhagavad Gita, Krishna book, showed how to chant japa, done a one-man kirtan with a mridanga. Quite embarrassing initially. Play the mridanga and try to get people to chant or not chant, or they just look at you and, But you can go into school still in the UK. That's the blessing, some blessing still of the government, that they're allowing education to be performed in a religious way. Yeah.
I think Radha Govinda Prabhu, he's asking the million-dollar question to you. How can we do big preaching? Because the atheistic civilization that we're facing is so ginormous, and we seem to be only making a tiny pinbrick, a tiny, against the ocean of materialism, we're so small. But I think I was inspired after what you're saying is that if all the programs that we're doing, book distribution, Harinam, education, schools, prasadam distribution, if we could increase them exponentially. The only trouble is the way ISKCON's organized is these programs are just carried on by a small membership of ISKCON, and the giant membership is struggling economically and maybe struggling too hard to make it in this world. But if they turn their backs on this world and join Prabhupada Sankirtan mission, then the preaching would be much bigger. So I think if we just increased in a huge scale, everything that we do within ISKCON, including universities. We've got people in Oxford now. We've got a devoted professor teaching, he's teaching the Hinduism course. He's a great devotee. So he's going to influence all those people in a positive way. So I think that's the only real answer. And if anyone finds any way to let us know, if you can suss it out.
Well, for sure, we do have a lot of academic devotees, and if academic devotees write more books, I just recently read Kripa Moya's book, it was really good, Sanatan Dharma, a fantastic book for new people, then literature, academic people or university students, they'll come in contact with a devotee author, whether that devotee author is kind of undercover or coming straightforward, somehow they get in contact with the transcendental knowledge.
It's just a follow-up comment, and I was just thinking we somehow need to get into the mainstream way things are taught. And I remember a while ago we met the person who advises the government on the education of on the religious education side, especially with Hinduism. And he's a Mayavadi, he's an impersonalist, and his education and the things that, but it's what he says goes in the books, and that's what's influencing a lot of people. And I was thinking that if we can somehow, somebody can take up that post instead and make it a more spiritual education, then you're teaching children from a young age and they grow up with a different understanding. So yes, of course, we should definitely do all the things we're doing and increase it and more Harinam, but also thinking innovative ways of getting into the mainstream sort of way education is happening, so the government actually pays for us to teach Krishna consciousness, somehow getting in there. So
need some academic devotees who can, have the culture and the presentation and the background to be able to represent correctly in such a way that it's acceptable. Yes, anyone else?
Hare Krishna. Thank you. I wanted to ask, so in the Spirit Rupa, it is described that there's many, many hands and heads and of the Virat Rupa form of the Lord. And I was just always wondering, what do they represent? And I will share my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but I always thought that because we know that we can associate different parts of this world with the Lord's Viratrupa, like if I remember correctly, the trees are his hair and the mountains are his bones. So all those heads and legs, do they represent different parts of this world, and there's so many because there's unlimited planets? Or what do those hands and legs, what do they represent?
I also had that same question last night, and I was looking it up. It's there in the translation of Purusha Shukta. If you read the translation, specifically from our devotees in ISKCON, it's very clear. Also, there is the Purusha Shukta confirmed. There's a chapter in Bhagavatam where Srila Prabhupada gets into the detail of that. Yes, so as we're moving about the world, we can perceive nature as parts and parcels of the Lord. The rivers are the veins, etc., etc. But if you want to get more in detail, the Purusha Shukta, I highly encourage you to read the translation. It's very nicely explained there. Dashamulam, the 10 fingers, the 10 directions, is the Lord's hands. Similar to Sri Shupanishad. But this is quite intense, the Virat Purusha. Unlimited eyes, unlimited heads. It's quite overwhelming, actually, beyond our level of perception. If a normal person had to try and get a darshan of that Virat Purusha, probably leave the body, probably die upon taking that darshan. And mentioned here, Prabhupada says that Arjuna was given the eyes to see, to have that darshan by the Lord, because it's not an ordinary darshan. It's definitely something quite unique, and it's not something that so much the bhakta, the Krishna bhakta, aspires for. The Krishna bhakta aspires for Shyam Sundar Tribhanga, Shyam Sundar Krishna of Vrindavan. This is more inspirational for the devotee than the Virat Purush.
Yeah. Can we say that they represent different parts of?
Yes, that's the world. Explained there. Mm-hmm. The different directions as well. But yeah, read the Purusha Shukta translation.
Certainly, an effort started here, which is quite unique, actually. Amongst the ISKCON nations, internationally, is the be a monk for a week. It's an incredible thing. The number of people that come here, though limited, they're taking Bhagavatam sets, they're taking Bhagavad Gitas, they're tasting prasad. They're experiencing Harinam, food for life. These people, and they're coming back. They keep coming back to the thing. It may be, but it's such a unique opportunity. Whether it be, we even have the Be a Monk course on the ladies and the men. You know, so it's an amazing course that they're starting to run. And going to all walks of life, you know. Intellectuals, anybody, yeah.
Thank you, Prayojan Prabhu.
Going back to the scientists, because nothing exists that's not Krishna, Sarva Kalva Dham, actually everything is Krishna. So matter is also a form of Krishna, ultimately. And that's why the scientists, no matter how, because Krishna's the smaller than the smallest and he's the greater than the greatest. So they build a new machine to go smaller, to see smaller atom. But then there's nanoparticles and protons and neutrons. And if they develop the next machine to go even smaller, there'll be something else. It's just, there's no end to it. It's smaller than the smallest. And the same with the telescope. They build a bigger and bigger and bigger telescope. But the universe is bigger than
Hare Krishna.
Bigger than
bigger than the telescope can perceive.
But they cannot.
It's impossible.
It's unlimited.
The frog in the well. He can't understand that there's a gigantic ocean out there. He's so proud and puffed up of his material academia.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question about the Purushottama. You know, about thousands of legs and thousands of, you know, arms and heads. And I mean, is how literally are we meant to take that? Is it partly metaphorical or symbolic, or is it? How do we understand that?
He's an actual.
You say it's a representation. What does that mean?
He's an actual manifestation of the Lord's energy.
Yeah.
By the internal potency.
Okay, so
it's not his. This is Swayam Bhagavan Krishna.
It's literal then. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. A literal explanation.
Yeah.
It's there in the Gita. That's a literal explanation of what Arjuna is seeing. But he's seeing it by the mercy of the Lord who's giving him the ability to see it, to see that darshan.
When we're talking about things like that, sometimes it's sort of kind of like give us an idea of the, you know, the brightness or the immensity of God's energy. You know, sometimes it's explained by that.
It does create a certain awe and reverence and submissiveness to become humbled in front of such a manifestation of the Lord. But it's not his eternal swarup. Krishna is the eternal swarup. Yeah.
Just a quick comment on the Virat Rupa question that Mataji asked. And I was just a couple of months ago, I was in Italy at the Villa Vrindavan place, and there's this museum of sacred art, and there's a picture of the Virat Rupa there, and I was speaking to the devotee who painted it, and he was saying, usually when I do a painting, people tell me, I want this, I want that. Okay, he asked, what do you want in a painting? Okay, I want a bridge and a mountain, I want wherever, you know, like that. And he was thinking of painting the Virat Rupa, and he wanted some advice, so he spoke to a devotee. He said, how do I paint a Virat Rupa? And he said, basically make a picture with everything. So that was his idea, everything in it. So he thought, okay, that's a good description. So he tried to paint everything. So I think in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna is explaining so many different things. And then Arjuna is saying, well, how do you mean these things are present within you? And then he shows his form as everything. So I guess the different heads and the different hands then represent sort of everything in the world. It's a form of everything. That's just a comment.
Yeah, and the Virat Purusha is very intense. It's not what the bhakta or the devotee aspires for. And we're very fortunate that we have Radha Gokulanandan to meditate on. Because the Virat Purusha, I've even heard and seen it explained in Prabhupada's books that it's almost like a material manifestation. Whereas Krishna is the eternal youthful coward boy of Vrindavan. Where Mother Yashoda looks in his mouth and gets a glimpse of that. And okay, don't want to see that side of Krishna. All right, thank you all very much for your kind attention, and I'm very grateful to have had this opportunity. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Sri Radha Gokulanandan ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari, Haribo, Hare Krishna.